the beginning of Parshas Va'era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself to Moshe Rabbeinu with the Dalad L'shana Shal Geula, that Moshe Rabbeinu should deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael, Hotzeisi V'Hitzalti V'Goalti V'Lakachti. And the Pasuk has the expression, Hotzeisi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, that's the correct pronunciation, Hotzeisi Eschem. The Talmud Yerushalmi has a comment that if you leave out the Nekudas, you can pronounce the words differently. Behutzeisi itchem, I will be redeemed together with you. And this is what we mention in the Hoshinus. Naku behutzeisi itchem. The correct pronunciation is behutzeisi eschem. I will take you out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. But however, Nakuv, the Torah Shabbat Pesach, there's another way to read the Pasuk that is referring to the concept of Golus HaShchina. When Bnei Yisrael go into Golus, the Shchina goes into Golus with us, and when it would be the Gula for Bnei Yisrael, that'll be Behut Seisi, I will be taken out of Mitzrayim Itchem, together with you. The Chidor has two commentaries on the An Yankiv. The Chidor wrote many Svarim. So in one of the commentaries on the An Yankiv, he quotes a lot. So he quotes from the earlier Mekubalim that this concept of Golus HaShchina is based on the Pasuk in connection with regular Golus. If a person kills B'shogeg, he has to run away to one of the Ori Miklot and stay there, Amos HaKoyin HaGadol. So the Rambam divides all of those who killed B'shogeg into three categories. If a person killed Shogi Karav La'inus, then he's not Mukhiv to go to the Ari Miklat. If it's Shogi Karav La'mezid, then the Ari Miklat doesn't even help. That even if he runs away to the Ari Miklat, the Goel Adam has a right to kill him, even in the Ari Miklat. And if it's a middle Shogi, it's neither Karav La'mezid nor Karav La'inus, then the din is that he has to run away to the Ari Miklat, and then the Goel Adam has no right to kill him because mine is in the Ari Miklat. And if he goes out, then the Goel Adam has a right to kill. The Gemara says, Bezn, Chav Gimel, the Sanhedrin has to give a psak that the Goel Adam has a right to kill. Stam can't kill on your own. You have to have a psak. So the Pasuk says, V'nasa lachas alarm ho'el v'choy. He should run away to the Ari Miklod and remain alive so the Goel Adam won't kill him. So the truth of the matter is, let's say the one who was killed, B'shogeg, doesn't have a relative in the world. He doesn't have any Goel Adam. So the one who horig b'shogeg doesn't have to run away to the Ari Miklat. You only have to run away to the Ari Miklat to save your life if you're afraid the Goel Adam is going to chase after you. What if you know who the Krovim are? They're friendly with each other. They're not gonna run after the Ratzach b'shogeg. Still has to go to the Ari Miklat. It's an einish whether the Goel Adam is out to get him or not. So that's
never been the person is mamana Goel Adam.
Yeah, the Gemara talks about Bezdin being a man of Goel Adam, but we pass in Goel Adam is only a reshus laharga, it's not a mitzvah. Things machlokes hatanoim. So I think we pass in it's a reshus, it's not a chayva.
It's machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Shmuel.
Good. So the pshat and the pasuk v'nasa lachasam haram ha'el v'choi pasha pshat, he should remain alive, the Goel Adam won't kill him. But the Dinis has to run away to the Ari Miklat as an Einish, even if the Goel Adam is not interested, even if there is no Goel Adam, still has to run away. So how do you interpret Vachoy? So the Gemara understands Vachoy, it's bad enough that he has to run to the Ari Miklat, that's the Einish. He's not Mukhiyev to suffer in the Ari Miklat. So the Ari Miklat, the Gemara says, you don't designate Ari Miklat big metropolis. A gigantic city it won't be too safe. The police won't be able to control everything in the city. And the Goel Adam may come and kill him, even though he killed B'shogeg and he's in the army. Goel Adam may sneak in and decide to kill him. So Gemara says it shouldn't be too big a city because it won't be under control of the police. But however, it shouldn't be a tiny village. You have to have a drugstore and you have to have a theater and you have to have a museum and you have to have all the nice things that you have in a normal city. He has to enjoy life over there. And if the person who went to the Ori Miklat, the Karik B'Shogig, is one who enjoys learning, so you have to arrange for shiurim for him. So the Gemara says, Talmud Shagola, if a Talmud had to go into Golos because he killed B'Shogig, Maglan the Rabbi Ima, it means that the Rebbe has to go visit him once a week or whatever. Now we have Zoom, so now he can listen. He can listen to a shiur by Zoom. But in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have such a thing. They say the Rebbe has to go visit every so often and give a shiur for the one who's Dorei Miklat because of the Din B'Choy, because he's supposed to enjoy himself over there. So that's what the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim, that the idea of Golos HaShchina is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Bnei Yisrael because of our sins. He sends us into Golos, but bad enough that we're in Golos, we don't have to suffer more than being in Golos. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds our hand in the Golos, and the Jews most of the time did very well, and they made a very good parnasa. Every so often there would be a pogrom, or there would be the Holocaust was the worst of the worst. but there are klal, the Jews did very well. The Jews did very well in Golis because the Shechina was there with them to hold on. So let's say the Goel Adam lives in the Ori Miklat, has to stay there till the Kangorel dies, and he gets so used to it. There's a theater, and there's a drugstore, and there are doctors and everything, and museums, and libraries, and yeshiva, akolo, and everything. He learns Daf Yomi, he enjoys it very much. After the Kohen Gadol dies, he wants to stay there. He got so used to living in the Ori Miklat, he wants to stay there. So is the Rebbe still mechuyav to come once a week to give a shiur before they have Zoom? Is the Rebbe mechuyav chai? The Pashtus is not. Calls man that he's punished, that he has to stay in the Ori Miklat, he should enjoy it over there. He should have it. But once the Kohen Gadol dies and the Horeg B'Shogeg doesn't have to stay in the Ori Miklat, then the Pashtus is all the dinim of Achai don't apply. So the Rebbe is not mechuyev to come to visit him every so often to give him a shiur. So that's the Pashtus by us also. The Golos HaShchina is only calls man B'nai Yisrael have to stay in the Golos. They don't allow the Jews to enter Eretz Yisrael. But after 1948, there was HaKamas HaMedina, and B'nai Yisrael, whoever wants to can go to Eretz Yisrael. You can make a decent parnasa. Whoever goes there makes a reasonable parnasa. You can enjoy life over there. So the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't have to be in the Golos with us to hold our hands. So we should keep that in mind. There probably is no longer any Golos HaShchina. Shchina is only going to be in Golos because Man B'nai Yisrael have to be in Golos. Once the Golos is over, we don't have to stay in the Golos. So the Shchina doesn't have to hold our hand anymore. So with that holding the hands of the Shchina, we're going to be in trouble. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'lakachti eschem li liyom, V'yisi lachem le'elokim, so he says in both ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'lakachti eschem li liyom, I will take you as my nation, V'yisi lachem le'elokim, I will be your Elokim. So in the davening, we have two expressions that seem to reflect these two ideas. We say, Shimcha Goral HaKadosh Aleinu Karosa, B'nai Yisrael are called Am Hashem. And then we say, Shmeinu Karosa B'Shmecha, HaKadosh Baruch has incorporated our name into his name. He's called Elokei Yisrael. But Noeg Sheba Olam, when a couple gets married, so you say, Bal Ki Ishta Yisha Kibayla, we have halachas based on Epsuleiadis. Whenever there's, that's a Din D'Oraisa, let's say, I'm posuleidus about whether my wife did something, whether she owes money, whether she chayv malchus or misa. Then not only am I posuleidus to my wife, I'm posuleidus to my wife's brother, to my wife's father, because of the din of balki ishtai and ishta kabbalah, both directions. So benoik shabaylam is that when a couple is married, so one of them takes on the name of the other one. Let's say my wife got married, so she's called Mrs. Shechter. She doesn't retain her maiden name. In other countries in the world, the husband takes on the wife's name. I think one of my sons married a girl from Montreal. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's still under Napoleonic law. And according to Napoleonic law, the husband has to take on the wife's family name. I think the Marchand's name. Marchand took on his mother-in-law's name. The family name was Edlis because she supported his yeshiva. So he took on, Reb Shmuel Eliezer Edlis was his shviga's name. So that's what we say, Shmeinu Karosa B'Shmecha. The relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Esau is described very often in Tanakh, like one of a marriage. So here each spouse took on the name of the other. So HaKadosh Baruch took on our name. He's called Elokei Yisrael. He took on the last name of Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael took on the last name of HaKadosh Baruch. We're called Am Hashem. Am Hashem. So that's that pasuk. Pasuk is of Lakachti Eschim Liliyom, Yisei Lechem Lelukim, in both directions. Last week, we mentioned Ralbag in his commentary on Chumash points out that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was a different style nevuah from the other Nevi'im. And the Rambam lists off the four differences. So one of the differences was that Moshe Rabbeinu had Pel Dababa directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mariv Olo Bechidas. Moshe Rabbeinu had direct dictation. Osias and Nekudas. The other Nevi'im saw Chazon and a Chalom and a Mara HaNevuah. They had interpreted using their own language. Moshe Rabbeinu was not like that. He had direct dictation. So the Ralbag writes that that was only in later days when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over the dinim. But when Moshe Rabbeinu starts, he sees the snare. So it says there was a malach in the snare. And the malach was giving him a nevuah. So that's not direct dictation. It's not tel, tel, daba, but it's not directly. So that's what the Ralbag writes. In the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is like the other Nevi'im. But later he developed to become Pel Peh. So it's interesting, the story of Benoit Slavcha that appears in the end of Chumash Bamidbar. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is that the dion, the question that they raised was whether if a man dies and he leaves no sons, he only leaves daughters, do the daughters get Yerush? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, yeah, came in Slavcha Doivros, that if there are no sons, then the daughters get Yerush. So the Gemara in Yesh Nechon quotes one Tana has a different, totally different interpretation in the pasuk that the Moshe Rabbeinu knew that din and the Bnei Slavchot were Nechachmanias. They also knew the din that that if there are no sons, the daughters get Yerusha. Their Shaila was a totally different Shaila, nothing to do with women's rights, nothing to do with whether women get Yerusha, totally different Shaila. The Shaila was, their father, Tzolofchad ben Chefer, was a b'chor to his father, to Chefer. So as a b'chor, she should be entitled to Pishnayim. So the b'chor only gets Pishnayim, the pasuk says, b'chol asher yimotzi loy, beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, when it has the din of Kiseyenu lishtein oshem ha'achas ha'huva, ha'achas no yoldo l'abonim, so it's a l'yuchel l'vakas benu ha'huva, ha'perei b'rasnu ha'b'chor, so the Tanoim say only b'muchzuk and not b'ro'i. Let's say the father bought a lottery ticket and the father dies and the drawing of the lottery is after the father died and the father wins $1 million, but the father didn't have $1 billion, whatever. So the father didn't have it while he was alive. The b'chor only gets bishnayim. He gets a double portion as if he were two sons. He only gets tabuchol hashem masla, whatever assets the father had already at the time of death. And let's say the grandfather died after the father. Let's say Avram and Yitzchak and Yankiv. So what happened was Avram Avinu died first and Yitzchak died after. Let's say it would have been the reverse. Let's say Yitzchak dies before Avram Avinu and Yitzchak has two sons, Yankiv and Esam. Let's say for argument's sake, Yankiv is the Pchor. So Yankiv is entitled to Pishnayim. But Avram Avinu dies after Yitzchak. So Avram Avinu was also a multimillionaire. So all the money that Yitzchak gets bekever, he yarshens Avram Avinu, he already died. Yitzchak already died. That's called Yerusha bekever. Avram Avinu gets the Yerusha from, Yitzchak gets the Yerusha from Avram, who dies after him. So then Yankiv, the Bchor, is not entitled to Pishnayim, and that they divide equally. So that was the Shaila that the Menos Zalavchad asked when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu kum misalach baretz l'orka l'rochba ki l'cho et tenena. What does that mean, ki l'cho et tenena? By walking around Eretz Yisrael, he's acquiring ownership immediately right now. Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avram Avinu. When he died, it went to Yitzchak. When he died, it went to Yankiv. When he died, it went to his children, to the grandchildren. And then Tzolofchad ben Chefer was a b'chor. So he gets a double portion in Chefer, Tzolofchad ben Chefer. He should get, Slavchad should get a double portion in the Chelek and Eretz Yisrael. Or should we assume, no, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Kul Misalach Ba'aretz, La'orka L'rochbo, Ki L'cho Etenenu, That was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when B'nai Yisrael will conquer Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yoshua ben Nun, 2 centuries later. Then Kiluch HaTana, then it'll belong to the Jewish people. But it's only Ra'ui, it's not Muchsuk. So Chayfa never had it. He had a promise, he had a sweepstakes ticket that meant something later. But he didn't have the asset yet in his hands. It didn't belong to him yet till after Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael. In that case, then Tzlofchad should not be entitled to Pishnaim in Nichsei Chayfer. He'll only be entitled to Pishnaim, whatever Chayfer had when he left the Mitzrayim. Chayfer left Mitzrayim, he had Bizen Mitzrayim, Bizen Sayam. He knocks on the next door neighbor's doors and Erev Pesach, he asks for Matonis, and then Bizen Sayam he had. Then he had a little sukkah, okay, whatever, some clothing, some jewelry, whatever he had. So Tzlofchad will be entitled to Pishnaim, and whatever Chayfer had in his suitcase. But the big real estate in Eretz Yisrael, maybe that's all Roy. Maybe Tzlofchad is not entitled. Where the Chazal get this idea? That was the Sofik. So the Mefarsh Machumish say, because it says, Kemenot Tzlofchad Dobros, Nason Titein Lahem Achuzas Nachla B'soch Achei Avim. Why does it say, Akeifu Loshon Nason Titein? So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Where the Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Miyod, Malad Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Miyod. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Miyod, and you have Lashonis Kfulim all over the place, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything. The Torah has extra words and extra phrases. You don't have to be medaik. You don't have to be so medaktik on every letter in the Chumash. And Rabbi Kiva's opinion has been accepted. Lo Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Miyod. The Torah doesn't have Kefa Loshon unnecessary. The fact that it says Nasan Tite must mean something. So what it means is that he gets the Pishnaim. Yes, the whole Shaila in the first place wasn't whether women are entitled to Yerushim when there are no sons, that the daughters get Yerushim. That the Menos Lovchad knew and Moshe Rabbeinu knew. The whole Dion was whether they're entitled to the Chelik Bechora because Tzlofchad was a Bechor to Chefer. And the answer was yes, Nosan Titen, that Eretz Omechzakasim Yavaseinim and Moshe Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu walked around the borders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki l'cho etenena, it doesn't mean in the distant future when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael. Ki l'cho etenena, right now. And the Gemara says in Bavli Basra and Daf Kuf that that's a machlokes hatanoim. Is that a valid form of chazoka to walk around the borders? Is that a valid form of chazoka if I sell you karka bizman hazeh? So I think the Tana Reb Lezer says, yes, it works bizman hazeh. I want to sell you a kerem. And I tell you, walk around the borders, that'll be the chazoka. We paskin know. We paskin that only constituted, that was a hirua, sure, of a kinyan chazaka when you walk around the borders. But Ledoris, chazaka, the Mishnah in Cheska Batim says. Cheska Batim is a different meaning, chazaka. But the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Perek says, there's a kinyan chazaka that's no god or a parrot. That's a different. Cheska Batim is a different story. It's not the way to sell karka. Cheskabatim, a way to prove that the karka belongs to you. If you had Achilles Paris for 3 years and they say you lost the shtar. But if a person just says, I was living in the house for 3 years and no one told me anything, that doesn't constitute a kinyan. After Taina, he sold me the karka, he made a valid kinyan, and it belongs to me. And the proof that it belongs to me is the fact that I'm living there for 3 years. The word that Prima Godem writes in the Psicha Kalal is that the word chazaka has 6 different meanings. Each one is totally different from the other. There's a chazaka de meikora, status quo. Gedola chazaka, that the Kohanim came back in the beginning of the Baisheni period, and they're allowed to continue to eat truma deraisa. In Bobo, they were only eating chala de rabbanon. But when they came back to Eretz Gedola chazaka, that's the Gemara, the first daf in Asar Yuchsin, in the last pair conclusion. That's a different chazaka, that's chazaka status quo. Then the chazaka tlazim, they have a chazaka, different kinds of chazaka. So we paskin that walking around the borders does not constitute a kinyan chazaka l'doris. There was only hayru asha. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Avraham Avinu shu. Rebbe Shalom is the balabos over the whole world. So Rebbe Shalom gave Eretz Yisrael to the Yomus Olam temporarily, and then he said, forget about them. Now it's time for Bnei Yisrael to take Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu walked around the borders. He was kaina as a Hirosha. He was kaina Eretz Yisrael at that time. So the Gemara says this was the Gemara quotes one Tana. This was the suffix of Bnei Tzlofchad, where the Eretz Yisrael was muchzok or roy, whether the poor is entitled to pishnaim or not, and the answer was given yes, no santite. So the Gemara says, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know the answer? He didn't know the answer. Why didn't he know the answer? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Nasati osalechem marasha." What does it mean, marasha? So the Gemara says that's exactly what he wasn't sure. He didn't say marasha. He didn't have a mara hanavua and interpret using his own language. He was dictated word for word, letter for letter, what to say on this occasion. The Rabbag pointed out that the Mara Hasneh was a malach showing him a vision, and it was the lower level of Nevuah, like Shai Nevi'im. But this Nevuah, the Gemara assumes, was word for word, letter for letter. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean when he told me I should say, Sati Osalachem Morosha? Morosha means a Yerusha. Yerusha he may have seen him in Moshe Avram Havino. So why didn't he tell me to say Yerusha? Sati Osalachem Yerusha. Why did he say Morasha? Maybe Morasha has the connotation that it didn't belong to the Ovis. It'll belong to the Jewish people when Yeshua Benum will conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's Kibush Muhammad, will acquire ownership. But maybe it didn't belong in the days of the Ovis. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Eretz HaMelech Sakasim may have a saying in Moshe Avram Avinu. And that's why Nasan Titein, that's why Salavcha was entitled to the Chelek B'chor, the Pishnaim. So why the Lashon Morasha? So the Gemara doesn't answer. Well, why does it say Morasha? So many say Yerusha Morasha, two different things. In English, they're two words. One is an inheritance and one is a heritage. In the modern Hebrew also, Morasha means the heritage. Yerusha means I had a rich uncle and he died and I get the money from the Yerusha. I can do whatever I want with the money. I can put it in the bank. I can burn the money. I can distribute the money, I can gamble away the money, I can do whatever I want. That's a Yerusha. Yerusha means the Yerush is the Balabas to do whatever he wants. And Morasha means a heritage. Eretz Yisrael is a Yerusha, but it's not that we have the right to do whatever we want. We don't have the right to give away Eretz Yisrael to the Yom HaSa'olam. Eretz Yisrael is not for sale. We have to transmit it. A heritage means something, a family heirloom, something that you got by Yerusha, and it's your responsibility, it's expected of you to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. So that's why Eretz Yisrael is referred to as Marasha. The only other time you have the term Marasha Nechumash is Torah Tzivolana Moshe, Marasha. We have to transmit the Torah in its entirety to the next generation. That's what it means, a heritage. But not the Balabatim to cut up the Torah, only to transmit, but we have to give everything. This difference between the Nevuah Soresh Rabbeinu, that of the Shai Nevuim, that the Rabbal pointed out on last week's Sedra, that Moshe Rabbeinu started off like Shai Nevuim, that he had a Malach who was giving him, communicating with him. So this is seems to be the Pshat in the opening Rashi in Parshas Matos. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei, that Kol HaNevuim Misnaba B'Koyim Ar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shai Nevuim introduced the Nevuah by saying Koyam Ar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu has a higher Madrega than the other Nevuim, that sometimes, on some occasions, he'll not only say Koyam Ar Hashem, Koyam Ar Hashem, this is approximately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he has the ability to say Zeh HaDavar Shatziv Hashem, this is direct dictation, he's quoting word for word, letter for letter. So the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, has a Sefer HaChumash, and he explains what that means. I once asked Rabbi Soloveitchik about this. He says, yeah, all the Chachmei HaKabbalah say that. It's not a Chiddush of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, that the other Nevi'im saw a Chazon, a Chalom, a Mare, and they interpreted using their own language. And that's why the Gemara has a tradition, Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnabim Misignar Echad. Even if two Nevi'im see the exact same Mare HaNevuah, but they don't speak the same language. So each one is going to say it in different words. He'll say it over differently. And if they say, two Nevi'im say exactly word for word the same thing, there's something fishy. And you should realize it was made up in advance. It cannot be that two people speak exactly the same. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin like that. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was direct dictation. But how come sometimes you have Koyam Ar Hashem? And Parshas Va'era, this week said, I think you have five times. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Koyam Ar Hashem. So when does he say Kohen Marashem? When does he say Zehadover? So the Kedushas Levi explains the only time Moshe Rabbeinu had what we call Aspik Loria Hame'ilah, Hame'ira, direct dictation, word for word and letter for letter. That's only when he was saying the Dinim Le Danoig L'Doris. When Moshe Rabbeinu is saying over something, that's how Ro'a Shoah, he's predicting there's going to be Tzvadei Akinim Morav Devashchin. That's not a Din L'Doris, that's how Ro'a Shoah. He's predicting the future, what's going to happen. Or when he tells Bnei Yisrael they should knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach next for Matanis. That's once in the history of the world. So that's not a mitzvah. That's a Ro'a Shoah. A mitzvah by definition means a din that's noeg l'doros. That's the Rashi, the opening pasuk on Parshas Tzaveh, Loshen Tzaveh, Loshen Zeruz, Miyadu l'doros. And that's the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes. The Rambam writes the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah. He lists off all the 14 guiding principles that determine which mitzvahs belong in the minyan mitzvah, which not. So the first klal the Rambam writes is you only include mitzvahs deraisa, you don't include mitzvahs derabbanan. That's against the halachas gedolos, included the rabbanans also. And then the second klal he says you only include mitzvahs that are noig l'doros, something that's a Ro'a Shoah, does no longer say from mitzvah. It's only called mitzvah is a technical term that means miyadu l'doros, that is noig l'doros. So that's what the Kedushas Levi says. The only time Moshe Rabbeinu, even till the day that he died, he had two different types of nevuahs. Whenever he was given a nevuah, the man is going to come down. They shouldn't leave over the man till tomorrow morning. That's how Ro'a Shoah. The man, the whole, all the din of man, how Ro'a Shoah. So there the nevuah was not Maspek Loria Hamira. And there it would say, Koyamar Hashem. And it won't say Kasha Tziva Hashem. It's not Kasha Tziva Hashem. It's Kasha Dibar Hashem. Masha'ini came when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying all the dinim that the Noeg L'doros. Then he had Aspek Loria Hamira. And then he was given, that's Aspek Loria means direct dictation, word for word, letter for letter. So apparently here, when Moshe Rabbeinu said over, V'nasati Osa Lechem Mor Rasha, he didn't pick that word Mor Rasha, the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, say these words Mor Rasha. And then later he was wondering, what did it mean? When I said Mor Rasha, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean when he told me to say Mor Rasha? Does it mean Yerusha, Yerusha, Imi Avasein, Imi Avasein, Avram Avinu? Or does it mean something else? No, we're not going to get, we're not going to acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael till the days of Yeshua Benon. So the Gemara said that's he had to be told by the Shechina. Came in us love chadovras, no sancti ten lahem. Yes, it is a Yerusha. But the reason why the word Marasha was chosen because it's a heritage. You have to transmit it to the next generation.
That means that not all of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was Aspaka Amira. It was only things that were knowing the Doro that were Aspaka Amira.
That's what he says. That's what the Kedushas Levi says. Yes. So there used to be a student in Yeshiva who decided I'm an apikoris because I said over this idea from the Kedushas Levi. So I was an apikoris for a couple of years and he was right of me until Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a Yortzeit Rosh and he quoted something from the Kedushas Levi. But then it became kosher. He didn't quote this one. He quoted something else from the Kedushas Levi. He only knows one thing. He only knew one thing from the Kedushas Levi. He used to say it over every so often. Why the Tana went to daven, he put his head in between his knees when he was davening, like a behemoth. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, so it became kosher. This Kedushas Levi, that's the one that Rabbi Soloveitchik told me, all the Chachmei Kabbalah say that. He said, it's not the Chiddush of the Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchler, yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes.
Rabbi's saying that the Lashon Mor Rasha fits into the Ralbag was saying? That it was before he got that Aspaka Amira?
The Ralbag writes it as if in the early years of Moshe Rabbeinu's career as an Avi, he had a lower level of Nevuah. In the later years, he got a higher level. So last week, Sedra, the first Nevuah was a Malach, was in the snare. But later, he didn't have a Malach, had directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm saying that Blevi Yitzvah Ditchiva says, throughout all the years that the 40 years in the Midbar, sometimes he had Aspek Loria Meir, sometimes not. Sometimes it's like Day Malach with a Mara, and sometimes it was direct dictation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that the early years and he matured later, he got a higher level. He said, because this Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't sure why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say that word. Why did he tell me to say Mor Rasha? So the Gemara assumes that the word was told him, say Mor Rasha. Not that he chose the word, yeah.
Hey, if that's the case, then let's say for other Nevi'im, like there are some other like there's some other dinim that I learned from like I think from Navi also. Like I know I think like a lot of Hilchot Shtarot is learned from like Yirmiyah, right?
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, that everyone else besides Moshe wasn't given directly what things are Noach Gedor wrote, so then that would mean that the dinim that we're learning from Yirmiyah or in other dinim also, like they weren't exactly what God told the Navi, though. They're formed with what the Navi was saying also, no?
Yeah, the Gemara says it cannot be that din was not known till the days that the Navi, Yirmiyah, was given the dinim of stories. It must be that the dinim were known from the past. The Navi is writing of a dinim that were Yodua already. The Gemara on the first daf in Megillah quotes a pasuk. The Marsha is not sure which pasuk they're quoting. Either it's the concluding pasuk in Chumash VaYikra, or the concluding pasuk in Chumash BaMidbar, which are practically almost identical. There's slight shinuyim, and the Netziv in his commentary on Chumash explains why the shinuyim, what changed in between. And the pasuk says, "Eila mitzvah zachuk hamishpatam shatziv Hashem es Moshe." Eila means these, and only these are the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs mean binding l'doros. Any other Navi cannot say a din l'doros. But you have in Yirmiyah and Yecheskel and you have other. So the Gemara says, no, it's Gemara Gemira Luhu. They had a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, but also Yecheskel Asmachei Akro. Yirmiyah wrote it down, Yecheskel wrote it down. It was already a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't no Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu was ever given a din l'doros. All the dinim of Doris were given to Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's like similar to also what the Gemara says about mechitzas, no? Also how the Gemara tries to find an earlier source for having men and women, Gemara Tzuka, having men and women separately.
Yeah.
And the Gemara tries to find out also where the earlier source for that was also. I mean, where was it present in Tanakh for that, no? Like similar idea.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Sedra, next week's Sedra, El Parshas Bo. This week's Sedra has the same lashon, Bo Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Why does it say Bo Daber? Why doesn't it say Lech Daber? So the Mefarshim explain in the beginning of Parshas Bo, they have it. Usually, when I send a shaliach, let's say a man sends a shaliach to be Mekadosh Anisha, to be Megarish his wife. So he sends a shliach because the girl lives in a different city, in a different country. So he sends a shliach because the mishalech is not going to go there. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over. So he's not going to say, lech, go to Paro. Bo daber, the shchin is going to be there. By Paro, the shchin is going to be there. Come to me and deliver the nevuah. So what does the Rebbeinu Shlom need the shliach for in the first place? A bus of Adama doesn't want to travel to California. He's separated from his wife, and the husband lives in New York, and the wife lives in California. The husband doesn't want to travel to California to give her a get. So he sends a shliach. Someone's going anyway to California for business. So he says, take the get, and you'll be the shliach. But if the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to be there anyway, bo daber. So what does he need the shliach for? So Rav Soloveitchik has an essay about this. And he says, we have a lashon in the Gemara, shluchu shalodim kemoisa. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants to be mezakeh us. That if we will be the shluchim for the Rebbeinu Shlom, we will become, in a certain sense, kemoso. Our level will rise, just like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is on a higher level than human beings. So if I'm the shliach of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this will be a schus for me. I'll be on a higher level. We become shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a schia for us. He doesn't need any human beings to be shluchim for him. Rebbeinu Shel Olam could do everything on his own. He doesn't need a shliach. He appoints us to do shlichas on his behalf, even though he's going there anyway. He's going to be there anyway, where the shlich is going to go. It points us to give us a schus. We should become shutfim with him. Then the pasuk lists off the whole yichus, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Rashi quotes from the Tanoi, mitoch shehuska kliyaches Moshe v'Aharon, because they were now appointed as manhigim of Klal Yisrael. And you can only be memana ala tzibur, people who are miyuchasim. So the Torah had to give the yichus on Moshe v'Aharon. So it started from the beginning, from Reuven, Shimon, then it gave Levi. So then it mentions that Aaron HaKohen, when it's giving all the yichus of Moshe and Aaron, so it says, Aaron HaKohen married Elisheva Bas Aminadav Achos Nachshon, the sister of Nachshon. What's the significance of mentioning the sister? So Rashi quotes in the Gemara that if you want to marry a girl, Yivdak Be'achiha, So that's why Aaron HaKohen checked into Nachshon and he saw that he's a good fellow. So therefore, it makes sense that he should marry the girl. So that was one of the questions that was posed a week ago. They gave me, the SLY gave me a list of questions. The first day of the Yeshiva's Penah semester, and I should discuss a whole bunch of questions. And one of the questions was whether these things still apply, Bizman Hazeh, to marry a Bas Talmid Chacham and to be Bodik Be'achia, to marry Dafka girl whose brother is a Talmid Chacham. Do they still apply today? The Pashtus is that today we have an expression in Tanakh, Ben Mavis Ato. Ben Mavis means my father's name is Mavis. I'm the son of Mr. Mavis. Ben Mavis means I deserve the death penalty. Or Ben Belial means my father is a Belial and I am the son of Mr. Belial. No, Ben Belial, I am a Belial. So Bas Talmid Chacham in the days of the Gemara means the father was a Talmid Chacham and the daughter was brought up in a Torah Dikah home. So the Gemara recommends you should always marry a Bas Talmid Chacham. The reason that the Gemara gives is in case the husband should die at a young age, the wife will know how to raise the children in a Torah Dikah fashion because she saw in her parents' home. Her father was a Talmid Chacham. She shall raise the children properly. But we live in a generation that the girls have Torah education. A lot of the girls have more Torah knowledge than the boys that they married. Okay. So the girl herself can be considered in a certain sense a Bas Talmid Chacham, not the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. She is like a Ben Belial and a Ben Mavis. She herself is a Bas Talmid Chacham. So today it's not that important to check the brother and to check who the father is. If the girl is, if the girl has a Torah chinuch today, we have chinuch for the women. The girl has a Torah chinuch, so that's that'll take the place of checking the brother or checking the father. They have a famous comment from Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik on the pasuk "Reinis Aticha Elohim leFaro." The word Elohim in Tanakh a lot of times is Lashon Chol. It means a shofet and a dayan. Like of Nikabal Baisel Hu Elohim, that's Loshen Chol, it's not Loshen Kodesh. Bereshis Bor Elohim, that's Kodesh. The Minhas Chinuch, whenever he quotes Elohim, he always puts a kuf. Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. So Rav Soloveitchik had a tiny, why does he put a kuf on that? He should put a hey, it's Loshen Chol, it's not Loshen Kodesh. When you refer to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, you say, you don't want to say Shem Shemaim Levatol. So you say Elohim, but if you're talking about Avodah Zarah, Le'eloha Elohim Acher Mal Panai, that's Avodah Zarah. So why should you say Elohim? So here, the word Reina Satich Elohim Lefar means a shofet and a dayan, like Menikah Balabais Elhu Elohim. What is that all about? Because the Esamakas were not a way to force Paro to let Bnei Yisrael go free. The Gemara says, Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum somebody suffers in Gehenim is for 12 months. That's why the minig is that when children say Kaddish, the purpose of reciting Kaddish after a parent passes away, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Zohar, in the end of Yeridah, when you have Hilchos Avelus, it has a whole siman about reciting Kaddish. So the purpose of the Kaddish is to be poyder the parents from Gehenim. In case they deserve to go to Gehenim, children will recite Kaddish, will be poyder. So the meaning is that if the child is saying Kaddish for a parent, it's not a stranger. If the child is saying, he only says Kaddish for 11 months, he doesn't say into the 12th month, not to be machzik the parents as if they deserve to such rishon that they deserve to go to Gehenna for Yud Beis Chodesh. So the meaning is that if it's a child saying Kaddish, he only says 11 months. If there, let's say there are no children and someone else in the family wants to say Kaddish, then the meaning is you do say for 12 months. Maybe he does deserve to burn in Gehenna for 12 months, but the children shouldn't demonstrate as if their parents deserve to go to Gehenna for 12 months. So the Gemara says that's the maximum of a punishment is Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Gemara has a tradition that the Dor HaMabul, the Einish of the Mabul, also took 12 months, and the Mishpat in Mitzrayim was also 12 months. The Esamakas, the Medrash says that there was 3 weeks Hasroa, and then 1 week of the Makkah. So they were only Esamakas, so it should have been 10 months. But the Gemara says, no, we stretched out over 12 months. So this is the maximum punishment that anybody ever gets. So it was a punishment. It could be that Makas Becharis was not a punishment. It could be that Makas Becharis was solely for the purpose of freeing Bnei Yisrael. Paro didn't agree to free them the first 9 times. Actually, Hashem enslaved Paro. He didn't agree. So the first 9 out of the 10 Makas was a punishment for the Mitzrayim. And the 10th one, maybe that was not a punishment. Maybe that's what they call it from Rav Elbalam. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro, tell him, Shalach Uzman Yisrael, Menecha Meshalech, Daki Anecha Harik, is Bincha B'chei Recha. Why did he tell him the last Makkah? Why did he tell him the first Makkah? Dam Tzvadeya. So Rashi quotes that a bus of Adam who's going to wage war against someone else is not going to reveal to the enemy his secrets, what weapons he has. He's not going to tell him, I have nuclear weapons. He's going to, because then the enemy may outsmart him and may also get the nuclear weapons. So you keep secret what your weapons happen to be. You don't advertise it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you in advance, I'm going to give Esa Makas, the worst one, the last one is going to be Makas Pleris, and see if you can do anything about it. You won't be able to resist it. I'm going to give you the Esa Makas, whether you like it or not. That's where Rashi quotes from the Chazal. So Rav Elbalam Soloveitchik suggested a different shot. Maybe the first 9 Makas were a punishment. So that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to tell. He said, I'm going to punish you. But he says, if you don't set Bnei Yisrael free out of your own free will, I'm going to force you to set them free. I was going to force them. Makas Brera is going to be the clincher that's going to force them. So that's what Rav Elbalam suggested. Maybe the first 9 Makas were in his Aticha Lehim Lefar. He was a Shefet and a Dayan, the judge. And the Pasuk says in today's Sedra that the Tzvardeya will come by all So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, each one is going to suffer to a different degree because each one sinned to a different extent. So the Dayan, the Shofet, has to determine how much Para has to suffer and how much the cabinet members have to suffer and how much the nation has to suffer. Each one is going to suffer to a different degree. But the 10th one, the Makas Pleret, maybe that was not for the purpose of serving as an Oynish. Maybe that was just to pressure Paro, to free Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara has a comment about the Tzvardeya jumped into the Tanu Recha. The Tanu usually means when the oven is on, when the oven is burning. So those who jumped into the oven, B'tziva Yashem, got killed. Even though they're not Bar Chiyuva. They're not the human beings, they're animals, the Tzvardeya. So you see that even the Tzvardeya knows he has to be Moisa Nefesh to do Dvar Hashem. So the Gemara says, Hanan Mishal Ba'azariah jumped into the Kibshan Ha'esh because they took a Kalvachamer from the Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeya was not Puchayib in anything, it still was prepared to be Moisa Nefesh to jump into Tanu Recha when the Tanu was burning hot. So Nachanan Mishal Ba'azariah also were Moisa Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem. That's the din. You have to say Hashem l'kab b'chol napshecha fi l'noit l'es napshecha. In rare occasions, that is required of us. Avod azor g'alevai shvichas damim. Sometimes it's din of yohorek v'al yavar.
Yeah, but they didn't have b'chira, the Tzvardeya.
That's a question. The Gemara seems to assume as if they jumped in with their own b'chira. That's a good question. Do the Tzvardeya have b'chira? The question. It sounds as if they did have a b'chira, yeah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a comment. It says, Vatal ha-tzvardeya. When the Makas Tzvardeya began, Vatal ha-tzvardeya sounds like there was one Tzvardeya. But then it says, Tzvardeim. There were Tzvardeim all over the place. So one of the Gemara has a question. How do you understand the psukim? So I think Rabbi Akiva says like this, that there was originally one Tzvardeya. And then the people wanted to get rid of that Tzvardeh, so they took sticks and they were beating the Tzvardeh. They thought they'll kill it. Instead of killing it, it gave birth to more Tzvardeh. And then they kept on hitting all the Tzvardeh, kept on giving birth to more and more. Originally, it was only one. So the commentaries point out, the Darshanim point out, that sometimes when you have an Apikoros or a Rasha, sometimes the smartest thing is to ignore him. You don't always say, let's beat him, let's attack him, let's keep on attacking him. Sometimes by attacking him, you're going to have more apikorsis, more apikorsim are going to develop. So sometimes you have to know when. Sometimes it's best to ignore him and be potter from him rather than to fight against him. You don't always use the same methods in fighting Mohammed Hashem. Then the Pasuk says when the Makas Kinim took place, the Chartumim attempted to imitate that also, but they weren't able to. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Midrashim, that the Shadim only have a shlita on bigger things that are larger than Kisa'ira. But if it's smaller, pochas mikisa'ira, smaller than a barley grain, so then they don't have shlita on that. So the kinim was smaller than a barley grain, so that's why they didn't have any shlita. So Ramban has a disagreement with the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there's no such thing as black magic. Everything is a fake. Everything is just a make-believe. It's like a magic trick. A magic trick. The person made a rabbit come out of his hat. The rabbit was there. He didn't convert something. It's by a sleight of the hand. And the Torah says you're not allowed to do los nachshav los aneinu. So the Rambam learns that you're not allowed to do magic tricks, even though it's only a sleight of the hand. That's also. And the Ramban thinks that it's not so. Many of the poskim say that magic, the Tiferes Yisrael and Mishnayos, and many others say, no, stop magic. Everybody knows that that's just a sleight of the hand. That's not osur. Lo sanachshu, lo sanenu, nichush means really, kishuf means you're really black magic. You're really doing the tias kishuin. I stand over here and I succeed in planting cucumbers across the street. I didn't walk across the street. How can I do that? But Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. I was using Shadim to accomplish something. So the Ramban says that you see from this Chazal that there is a Shlita the Shadim have, and they can really do something. Pochas Mikadasha, they don't have a Shlita. But Pochas Mikasar, they don't have a Shlita. But more than Kasar, they do have a Shlita. They change things. That's there's the Ramam Lishitasai. The Rambam thinks that no such thing as black magic. Everything is teva. So the Rambam understands that all of these isurim are magic. Go and play magic. What we call magic, everything is awesome. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva where he says that it's awesome. Apparently the Chochma Sodom writes about this, that they used to have a practice that at weddings they used to have for the purpose of entertainment. We have music and dancing and singing and chazanim and drushes at a wedding. So in the days of the Chochmas Sodom, they had a practice. They would have a magician entertain the people who come to the wedding. So the Chochmas Sodom quotes that according to the Rambam, it's an Isser, even though it's not black magic, it's magic that all the people know that it's just a sleight of the hand. So Chacham Avadya quotes that Chochmas Sodom, that it's awesome. And many assume not so. Many assume that there really is such a thing as black magic, and that's what's awesome. And this is sleight of the hand. This is all mutta.
What is the halacha about bringing magicians for children or that sort?
What about what?
What does Rabbi hold the halacha in terms of bringing magicians for children or...
That's a serious shot. According to the Rambam, it's taka asa. The simple shot. According to the Rambam, it's asa.
Is that what does Rabbi hold the halacha? Someone like who, about that.
What do I hold? Who am I?
if someone asks Rabbi if they can bring a
better is to avoid it. They shouldn't do it.
Well, even al de akum.
Yeah. Why should Amira? The Gemara has a suffix, but Amira li akum is restricted only to Shabbos and Chalamoy and the Yontev, where it applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. So we're Machmer on that Sofik and anymore. We don't allow Amir Ali Akam on Shari Surim. Yeah.
But let's say he announces beforehand that whatever I'm doing is not real magic, but just sleight of hand.
Okay. Maybe it's.
I know from a magician, I think he does that.
Okay. At the end of this Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Paro, if you don't like the bird, would you want me to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says yes. So it says Kitzesi Asuir Ephesus Kapayal Hashem Vakolas Yachtolun, and there won't be any more bird. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, from the Medrash, Kitzesi Asuir. Why didn't he want to daven in this city? Why not Kitzesi Asuir? Because the city was full of Avodah Zarah. You're not supposed to daven in the presence of Avodah Zarah. What kind of a din is that? So I thought that there was a Chassidish Rebbe who was known as B'nai Yisoschar, The Sefer Mnei Schas Chazol Chassidus and Kabbalah, a little bit halacha, but mostly not. One half of the Sefer is about Shabbos, and the rest of the Sefer is about the Yom Tovim. It goes Nisan, Yosef, and he goes in the order of the months, and he has different Kabbalahs, a different Yom Tovim, different months, a little bit halacha, mostly it's Chassidus and Kabbalah. But he has another Sefer, that's called Derech Pikudecho. The Mishnah Brura quotes in one place in the Bir Halacha, he quotes this Derech Pikudecho. So in the Sefer Derech Pikudecho, my father had that Sefer in his library. My father didn't have the Bnei Yisoschar, but my father had a Derech Pikudecho. He had one that was printed in Shanghai when they had the yeshivas ran away from the Nazis and they got stuck in Shanghai for a couple of years. So the Vat Hatzolah printed Gemaras and printed Chumashim and printed Rambams, printed all bunches of Svarim. So there were a lot of Chassidish boys from Chassidish yeshivas. So they printed a few Sefer Chassidus. So I don't know how my father got it. My father wasn't in Shanghai. My father was in America before the whole war began. So my father had this Derech Pikudecho in the house. I used to look at it. Interesting. So he writes, because in Tanakh it's called Avodas Gilulim, Golol is Tzoa. So just like one is not permitted to daven Keneged Tzoa on the Raglayim, so too you're not allowed to daven Keneged Avodas Zara, because it's Avodas Gilulim, so it's like Golol and Tzoa. What kind of a word is this? I thought maybe what he means is the following. In the beginning of Yeridaya, you have Simon Yutes, is about the Birchas Hashchita. So the Darkei Tshuva has a comment there. The slaughterhouse often has a very terrible smell because it's full of dam from the animals and the dam has an awful smell. So the shaila is, are you allowed to say a bracha in the slaughterhouse? The shochet has to say a bracha, al hashchita, birchas hamitzvah. Are you allowed to say a bracha? It smells awful over there. Let's say if there's a reach ra from tzoya, from meraglaim, you're not allowed to say a bracha, you're not allowed to daven in the vicinity where the reach ra is. So he quotes from the poskim, if you have a chemical that has a reach ra, it's not because something decomposed. If a person or an animal eats food, and then it's converted into, so whatever nutrition he needs stays in the body. And then the rest goes out as waste. So that's decomposed. So the tzoy, the meraglayim, that you're not allowed to daven kolzman dezarech there. Not allowed to daven toch talaram so the tzoya. And if the reach ra is still there, not allowed to daven there either. But if you have a chemical that has an awful smell, that's not the same. That nothing decomposed. So he says it's mutter to say the birchas hashchita in the slaughterhouse, even though there's an awful smell from the smell of the blood. That's the natural smell that it has. Remember, I had Professor Shmuel Soloveitchik for chemistry in the college. I was a non-science major. So that year he was teaching chemistry for the non-science majors. So he told us that when he went to the university in the Sorbonne, so he says the students at the end of the day would go to the theater. So they would play, they would pay for the cheapest tickets, but they would, at the end of the day, they were working in a chemistry lab a whole day. So they're used to the smell of the awful chemicals. They got used to it. So they would smear their hands with this awful chemical that smelled awful. And they would buy the cheapest tickets and they would sit in the first row in that section. And then the people in the next few rows would smell the awful smell. So they would move away. They would move further down. So all the rows were empty. So they would move five rows forward. The students would move five rows forward. Then after a couple of minutes, the people in the next couple of rows would move away because they couldn't take the smell. They were used to the smell. The whole day they had this smell. So there are chemicals that smell awful. So that doesn't have the din. You can say a brocha when you have that. So I thought maybe that's what it means over here. Abadizara, if you worship Abadizara, so the thing becomes Asabahanoa. So maybe that's considered like something decomposed. Something got ruined. Just like if you eat food, and then you take out the nutrition and the tzoya, the meraglayim is the waste product after it decomposes. So if you have someone worships Avodah Zarah, so that has a din like tzoya because it becomes, maybe that's why, because it becomes osa bahanoah. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kitzesi Asir, Ephraim says, Kapa Yal Hashem, he will dab into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will raise his hands. So in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, when it has the dinim of davening, you have to daven shmanes with your feet together, bamida, and so on. So Rabbi Kiveger has chidushim on all the abrichot of Shulchan Aruch. They quoted that the two, he had different sets of Shulchan Aruch. So some of his children printed Shulchan Aruch in Europe with Heoros of Rabbi Kiveger, and some of them went to South Africa and they printed there. From a different volume that Rabbi Kiveger had. In Eretz Yisrael, around 30 years ago, they printed Rabbi Kiveger HaShalem. They put together the Horus of Rabbi Kiveger from the European edition and from the South African edition. They put them both together. Because in each edition, he had written a Horus on the side of the page. So here they have the Horus of Rabbi Kiveger. Why didn't the Tanoim institute that we should daven Shmoneh Esrei but Prises Kapayim, like Moshe Rabbeinu daven, like Shlomo HaMelech when he offered his tefillah, different places in Tanakh, he said that they daven but Prises Kapayim. So why didn't they institute we should imitate the way they daven? So he said, originally in the days of the Tanakh, that was acceptable. But because in later generations, this practice was adopted by Avdei Avodah Zarah, so we no longer do that. Many of the Christians prayed with priests' kapayim. They lift their hands up like this. So even the Tanoim made all the takanas that were before the Christians, probably, but there were Avdei Avodah Zarah then also who used to daven with priests' kapayim. So Rabbi Kiveger said that's why they didn't institute this. The Bir Agro has on the beginning of Yeshaya, on the Pasuk, we say this in Haftar Shabbos Chazan, Uvharizcham kapechem alim einai mikem yidechem damim aleu. When Bnei Yisrael will do Prises Kapayim, HaKadosh Baruch is going to ignore it because the Bnei Yisrael, a lot of them, Yidechem Damim Aleu, they're responsible for killing many people. So the... the Vilna Gaon has a comment there that you find two types of Prises Kapayim. Prises Kapayim when they're davening, like at the end of today's Sedra, in Va'era. Then you have Prises Kapayim when the Kohanim Duchen. But there's a difference. The Kohanim Duchen, they hold their hands like this with the palm of the hand down. And when you daven, you hold your hands like this, Prises Kapayim with the palm up. What's the difference? So he says, Moshal Amadav Adayma, the opening Mishnah, Masecha Shabbos. The Mishnah starts off, the Mishnah on Dafan Gimel starts off, B'smalachas Abayim Chasarachas, and goes malacha by malacha, charis harei, koitz adosh, then haitzah is the last one. And then the Mishnah is later in the end, and the Masechta give you all the details of all the malachas. But the Masechta begins, first pair begins with haitzah. Why with haitzah? So Taisus writes on the first daf, haitzah is a malacha grua. You're not really changing anything in the world. The malachas are supposed to be zecha l'briyas ha'olam, malachas machsheb is changing, making something creative activity. And Hoitzah is no creative activity, just moving an item from one location to the other. So that's why many people, even though they're observant, they violate Hoitzah. It's a malacha grua. So the Mishnah wanted to start with that. So it has the mashal, Balabais is inside his house, inside the Rishus HaYechad. The Ani is standing in the Rishus HaRam. The Ani holds out his hands like this, and he asks, either he asks for food or he asks for money, holding his hands out like this to receive the gift from the Balabais. The Balabais is giving. So the one who's giving holds the hand like this. The one who's receiving holds the hands like this. So the kahanim are duchening, so they're giving a brocha. So that's why the whole priestess kapayim, the whole, is if they're giving a brocha to the tzibur. And when you daven priestess kapayim like this, hold your hands out, the daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us what we're asking for. And the pasuk goes on both. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. If ischam kapechem, whether you're duchening or whether you're davening, alameinam ekem, because yidechem damim aleh. The Gemara has a comment on that pasuk. If a Kohen once killed someone, that's a whole discussion, even accidentally, and even if he did tshuva, how far do you go with this din? But that's the pasuk. For ischem kapechem to duchem, alameinim ekem, yidechem dom alo. Kohen sharegas ha-nefesh lo yisas kapov. That was Rav Talavechik thought that even, let's say there's a Kohen who's a soldier in the Israeli army, and he did a mitzvah, and he killed terrorists. He killed Palestinian terrorists who came to kill Jewish people. So that's a mitzvah. So if he killed someone, but maka mitzvah, also you're not allowed to duchen. Maybe it only applies when he killed someone. when he killed someone, shalai b'makom mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it says in Tanakh that every time David HaMelech was victorious in battle, he would set aside the precious metal that he acquired, the gold, the silver, the copper, and so on, for the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. And then after years of putting aside all this, and he had to designate where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And at first he thought they should build it in Ein Etam. The halacha says the Chachamim should first figure out on their own, and then they should consult the Nevi'im. So first he decided it should be Ein Etam. That's the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Novi told him, no, you should go down a little bit. It shouldn't be the highest elevation. Bank Seif Op Shachain. It's nicer not to be the highest elevation, so it's going to be in Yerushalayim. So he said, okay, so now let's build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Novi told him, no, Dam Rab Shafachta, that because David killed so many Palestinian terrorists, the Plishtim, because he killed so many people, he's not the right person. He did a mitzvah, they were right for him, but because he killed so many people, so it's not right he should build a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom. And you're going to have a son, his name is going to be Shlomo, and he's going to be the one. It's going to be peaceful during his lifetime, and he's going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that even though David HaMelech killed B'makom Mitzvah, he was told that he can't build the Beis HaMikdash. And the same thing you have, the Zohar is bothered with Akasha. There are two opinions in Tosfos in Yevamos. There's a little Tosis in the beginning of Amos. When the Gemara says, "Koin Sharugas Hanevish Lo Yisias Kapa," we're not allowed to duchen. What about the Mimakar Karbonis and the Beis Hamikdash? Also not allowed to. But does it only apply to duchen? So the two opinions in Tosis. So if you look in the Mishnayos in the end of Pchoris, there's a whole parak about the which mumim pasul in Behemis and which mumim pasul in Kohanim. It's a din that's shared in common by the Behemis and the people that are Kohen Balmum is possible to do avodah, and a behemah that's a balas mum is possible hakrova. So on that, on the Mishnayos where they talk about bali mumin, so the Nosikelim on the Mishnayos talk about kain shargas on nefesh. Is he possible? The Gemara says he's possible to duchen. Is he possible to be makro karbonis? So it's a machlokes. There's two opinions and a little taisus in the beginning of Yevamos, one of the first davhei davav in the beginning of Yevamos. So the Achrenim quote from the Zohar that the Zohar is bothered with the Kasha, Pinchas was appointed a Kohen after he killed Zimri. Loines Kayan Pinchas acha haroga leZimri. So the Zohar asked the Kasha, how can he be Makar Karbonis? Kohen Shargas HaNefesh is not allowed to be Makar Karbonis. So you see from the Zohar, like that opinion of Tosfos, that you're not allowed to. But Pinchas did the right thing. That's a din. Boil aramis That was the din. So why is he excluded from doing hakrovas hakabana? So you see that even if you did it b'maka mitzvah, that's the din. You also posted. That's where Rav Soloveitchik tied. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva with somebody asked him this issue. So he writes not so. He thinks he heard that some rabbanim said a kohen in the Israeli army who killed terrorists and not allowed to duchen. He thinks that they did a mitzvah, so they can't duchen. I the kasha from the Zohar about the Pinchas and Zimri. So he writes, "Ein kamok m'larach." Maybe he has somewhere else. I don't know where he has. You have to look in the newer editions. They have all cross references to all the svarim. I'm sure he has about it somewhere. Yeah. Finally, after one of the makas in today's sedra, not the last one of the middle makas, finally, Paro blurts out Hashem atzadik v'ani v'ami harishoyim. So the Medrash says that the Mitzrayim latisi minchotiv le'emay oretz, that the Mitzrayim was zechet to kfur b'karka, that there was an argument between the Yam, they drowned in the Yamsuf, so the Yamsuf didn't want to have them, so the Yamsuf threw them out onto the shores. They didn't want to have these rishoyim, and then the shores didn't want to have them either. So the shores were pushing them back into the yam. So the Medrash says they were fighting back and forth to dry land and the water. Each one didn't want to have them. It's until HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. Natisa Yemincha, the Baruch Shalom put his hand in. Tivlei Mayar, the Baruch Shalom said, let them be buried in the ground. They had a kfura b'karka, not that they remained in the water. So the Medrash raises the question, what schus did they have that they deserve to be buried bekarka? So one suggestion is given because they said, Hashem atzadik ani v'ami horishoyim, because he accepted the tzidik adin for the punishment that he was getting. The other Medrash has a different suggestion why, but that's one version in the Medrash because of that. That was the schus why the Mitzrim deserved to have a kvura bekarka. Okay, everyone should be healthy and have a good Shabbos.
May I suggest a question?
Thank you. Sure.
The chiluk that between a mitzvah doros and a horasha, I think once said that Rav Soloveitchik used it to answer a question.
Yeah, the Minchas Chinuch has a kasha. Oibal dibei novi is chayim misa b'dei shamayim. So misa b'dei shamayim is a very short list of people, something like less than 10. So the Menchas Chinuch has the kash, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, and he told us you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. You have to say Kriya Shema, B'torah Zman, Sof Zman Kriya Shema. So if a person is lazy and he wakes up late, he doesn't set his alarm clock and he misses Man Kriya Shema. If a person talks Lashon Hara, any sneeze of any Avera that you do, you should be Chai Misa B'der Shemaim. Hoi Val Direi Novi? Well, just because Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Novi, therefore Bishol Shani Zochei Hipsadati. So the Menchas Chinuch works on that kash. So different terutzim were suggested over the years. Rav Soloveitchik gave this terutz years ago in the 30s when he used to have a little koilel that was sponsored by Dr. Revel, who was sponsored by the yeshiva. He had a little koilel in Boston for Europeans from Eretz Zodik and Europeans. So at that time he said this terutz, and now that's the going terutz. That oibad divravi chayim misa b'dei shamayim means if it's a hirah shor, it's only b'toras nevuah. But the dinim in the chumash, most of the dinim in the chumash are dinim l'doris. So that's not called oibad divrei novi. Oibad divrei novi, not enough that a novi said it. Novi said b'toras nevuah, only as hirah shor. But if it's a din l'doris, then it belongs to Torah mitzvahs. And Torah mitzvahs, there's a whole system. When you get malchus, when you get misa, when you chayim misa b'dei shamayim. So all the other avers don't have misa b'dei shamayim. Yeah, that was Rav Soloveitchik's teretz on the Menchas Chinuch kash, right?
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So, Rabbi, just to clarify, so when for example, that pasuk like by Shtoros from Yirmiyahu, so are we supposed to understand that every time the Gemara learns a din from the Nevi'im, it's really a din that existed previously?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Gemara Gemiri Lo Abasi Yecheskel Vasmech Akra. Yecheskel wrote it down what the din was that was Mekubal from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right?
Even when the Gemara doesn't say those words, we should assume that that's what's happening.
Correct. That's why they had to say that. That's what the Arsamech had to say that because they know Yerushalach Hadish Dova Miyata. No, we can't come up with a new din L'Doris. Unless he came up with the din with Toras Chacham, not with Toras Navi. Maybe he was a Tam Chacham and he figured out the din on his own. Okay.
Yeah, but it says Divrei Torah and Divrei Navi Lo Yalfinon. So smash, but they could have some kind of new things that not in the Torah.
The Nevi'im can come up with a Hirah Shah. Yeah. But Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Yalfinon, it's not going to be a din L'Doris. It'll be a Nevuah. But if the Navi comes up with a din that is L'Doris, how can it be? So the answer is, it was already Mekubal from earlier generation. The Navi wasn't Mechadish, he's just recording what the practice was. Very good.
Rabbi?
Yeah, sure.
In our Parsha, it says Aaron's name before Moshe, in one of the Pesukim. In Rashi, that it says that to show that they're equal.
Right, right.
What does that mean exactly, that they're equal?
They both participated, they both shared in the Yetzias Mitzrayim saga. Aaron was not on the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's not talking about the level of Nevuah. It's talking about the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that they both participated. So the participation of each one was equally important. Neither of them was more important than the other in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. When they spoke to Bnei Yisrael, when they spoke to Parah, when they did the Esamakas, so there was equally important. But as far as saying over the dinim, so that was Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no comparison. No one else can compare to Moshe Rabbeinu in the dinim. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a great Navi, but the psukim equate them not in the nevuah. Psukim equate them in the participation in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that they were both equally important.
Thank you. Also, why did Moshe Rabbeinu need a matah to do things with? What was the purpose of the matah?
I don't think he needed it. Why did the Rabban Shalom ask him to take a matah? I don't know. So you're talking about a nest. These are the Esamakas were on the Esam anyway. So what do you need a matah for? You could have done the nest by snapping a finger. Without snapping a finger, it could have just said it should happen. Why do you have to have the matah? I don't know.
Even when he made Kinem and he threw up the Piach Kipshan. So you see, sometimes there's a mice involved.
Yeah, that's the question. What do you need it for? I don't know. I don't know. Good question. Very good.
Good Shabbos.
How good in Shabbos, everybody?
Shabbos, Javi, thank you.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, thank you.
Yeah.